Have you ever been terminated after committing a material breach of your contract?
Not so far, you know. Although I was moved to kind of look at the fine print after the events of the last 24 hours. This is a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And it's hard to really have a hard opinion on it until we really know what foul was committed.
Yes.
But from where I sit, it does have some convenience for the LA Kings because they've had other players who have run afoul and were not terminated. And I would think if they really were of this high moral ground, they could have terminated Slava Voynov for what he committed this past year. They didn't. It feels like it's kind of convenient because this is a guy they want to get rid of.
Well, exactly. That's what it kind of makes you think, right, is that Slava Voynov, who may be a bad guy, you know, and is certainly accused of doing very bad things, has more value to them as a hockey player at his current rate of pay than Richards does, a lot more.
Yeah.
So, you kind of wonder about where that bar may be. But, you know, this is going to come down to a test of some kind of vague language in the contract and what that, you know, how you can apply that language. And this is going to get grief, so it'll be within the union via management process here. It'll be put in front of an arbitrator of some sort. But you know, if you read that contract language, you go, boy, that could apply to everything or to nothing.
Yeah.
Like, what would you, you know, do you have to kill somebody, or can you be 20 pounds overweight? I'm not sure when I read it and read it over again. But yeah, you can understand why a capped out team with a huge commitment to a guy still who is not ever going to play for them again. I don't think there's any chance of that. And they're clearly fed up with, and they would like the cap relief and they would like the financial relief. The idea you could walk away from that contract and not pay him another nickel, you know, never mind the cap relief, would be very, very enticing to an owner. But that should be a high bar. It should be a very high bar before you can nullify a contract. I think you would say that about professional sports, and you'd say that about anything else. To be able to walk away from a commitment that both sides have agreed to, and walk away from the financial commitment, you know, it better be something significant. And I guess, you know, I would say, I guess we're going to find out. I'm not sure when we find out. I'm not sure how we find out. You know, with this process either, because, you know, does that have to become part of the public record here? I don't know that it does.
Yeah. All of sport will be watching closely. I was trying to think of what are the precedent. You remember Alex Rodriguez, the Yankees wanted to get out from underneath that huge contract, and they couldn't do it. And I would think if anybody can lawyer up, it's the New York Yankees, and they weren't successful.
Yep. You know, you're looking at a guy who was caught, who broke, you know, rules that for years in the game were pretty gray, but, you know, by the time he broke them for the last time, it was very clear cut what he did. They wanted to walk out from under that obligation, and they lost. So, as I said, and it should be a very stern test. You shouldn't be able to just walk away saying, you know what, this guy, didn't follow the off-season conditioning program we gave him, or this guy got a speeding ticket. It shouldn't be that at that level. It should be a very stiff test. But, you know, let's see. It's going to be, you're right, everybody will be watching, especially in the National Hockey League, because, you know, you can go through not every team, but there's a lot of teams right now who have guys where they would say, boy, we would love to walk away. If we could walk away from that deal, our lives would be way, way easier. Let's see. If I was a betting man right now, I would bet that they are not able to walk away from this. You know, again, and that's not knowing what he did or what he didn't do. But I think this is weighted very heavily on the player's side.
And I'm with you. I don't think he plays for them again. They'll have to buy him out.
Yeah,
I would think.
Yeah, I think so. I don't see any way that well, again, barring something really shocking here.
Well, and we're hearing all kinds of things, right? Is it drug related? Did it involve something that happened at a border crossing? I don't know, right? And to speculate is kind of careless in the first place. But
well, and even that, you know, if that's the case, you know, again, the NHL has a substance abuse program. They have rules that you're supposed to follow in terms of guys. And the LA Kings would be pretty familiar with a guy, you know, being charged with a drug offense because they've got a guy facing one in Las Vegas right now. You know, we have seen teams deal with that kind of stuff before and not terminate contracts, or not attempt to terminate contracts. Again, the cynical part of me would say, well, those are guys that they want to keep. So, you know, you're willing to walk a guy through rehab and even walk a guy through charges sometimes if you think he has hockey value. But, you know, this is a guy they don't think has hockey value to them anymore at that price. So they, you know, it may be a little more convenient for them to want to get rid of Richards than it is for players that they still value.
Should have bought him out. I mean, everyone that was looking closely at cap recapture and the cost of buyouts when they weren't freebies was saying they got to do this. Loyalty seems to crush at times, Steven. And I look at the Bruins and the mess they're in. That's a loyalty-based issue as well. You're paying guys for what they used to be, not what they are.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and if you can get out of that situation for essentially only money, you know, if you have that chance, you know, history would suggest you should take the opportunity and do it.
But how old was Mike Richards when he signed it? That wasn't even a Kings contract.
No, but
Philadelphia
they
signed him.
Had the chance to buy him out is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the loyalty part. Not signing the contract, because it was signed in Philly. It was the not getting rid of the contract was the mistake.
Yeah. You know, and of course, yeah, they absorb somebody else's contract, but that's what you do sometimes, right? And you're gambling on... you know, you're gambling on getting as much value out of that contract. Like, that was, you know, that was, in hindsight, that was an insane contract. But Philly signed it willingly. You know, both parties were willing to sign it. It's not Richard's fault that he signed that deal. But, yeah, there is a time when either, you know, you fish or cut bait. And sometimes that just requires writing a check, and sometimes it requires taking a cap hit. But it's always better, it would seem, it's almost always better to take your medicine when you get that opportunity rather than wait and hope.
Let's talk Canadian Football League. The tough time to be a quarterback. Great if you're still one of them that's healthy. Well, let's start in Saskatchewan because, of course, that's a huge one. Darian Durant, when that Achilles pops like it does, you hate to think that might be it, but you wonder if now officially we've seen the absolute best of Darian Durant.
It's hard to, you know, it's a long, tough rehab from Achilles, an Achilles rupture. Guys have come back from them. It's rare that a guy comes back and is exactly the same, and it's rare at a kind of a later stage in a guy's career that a guy that he can do that. So, yeah, I would think, you know, I'm sure he'll try, and I'm sure the Riders want him to because they don't have a better alternative. But, you know, the guy who shows up at training camp next year, there will be a lot of questions around it. But, you know, and in the meantime, for the thousandth time in my life, we're talking about Kevin Glenn.
I know.
It's just, you know, it's an astounding thing, and you got to tip your cap. He has had a remarkable, unremarkable career.
That's a great way to put it. When he was a starter, you go back to in Winnipeg, he had that team going to a Grey Cup,
yep.
And then got injured in the final, and then it was Ryan Dinwiddie who couldn't get it done.
The Grey Cup hadn't played all year, essentially, right?
Yeah, basically. The Calgary Stampeders, they have some good fortune to hand Kevin Glenn's way. He is a former Rider. He's played pretty much for every team in the league, and I don't think he's ever really disappointed, but he's never been the undeniable guy.
Just kind of good enough to break your heart at a certain point, you know, and you know, good enough to manage a good team, certainly. And, you know, at his best, like, he can get in crazy hot streaks and look as good as anybody in the league. It's, you know, and it's if you hang around the league long enough, you know, see Henry Burris, you understand how stuff works. You understand, you know, what's coming at you defensively. There's not going to be a lot of surprises. So just the kind of the guile that you end up with is going to pay dividends, you know, especially in a league like this one. But, you know, he hasn't got a terrible arm. He's got an okay arm. He's not very fleet of foot, but he's not immobile. He's not a big guy, but he's not. There have been smaller quarterbacks playing in the league. You know, he's like the mean. You know, like if you're going to kind of go from the greatest quarterback in CFL history to the worst, he'd be above average.
Yeah,
he's like 65%.
I was going to say, and we're maybe not giving him the credit that he deserves because a lot of what being successful in the league is managing a game. He doesn't get sacked a ton because he's smart enough to dump the ball off when he has to. He doesn't often get careless and reckless and try and force things. He knows what's there and he knows what isn't. He has a relatively decent CFL IQ.
Yeah, he does. And with a good team, and he, you know, I think they've got a pretty good team at Saskatchewan. I know they lost that game, but I still think the supporting cast is pretty darn good. I think they have the potential to be a decent team. He's a guy that could get them. He'll get them in the playoffs. He might win a playoff game. He might win two playoff games if he has to. He can take a team to the Grey Cup. I think a really good team if the situation was right. But you know, I think it's a pretty short list of teams that have won Grey Cups. I'd have to go back and start looking. You know, I'd like, and you can always play that game in the NFL where you look at, you know, great quarterbacks who never won Super Bowls and teams who won Super Bowls with way less than great quarterbacks, because it has happened in the NFL. You know, Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl, right? There's a bunch of guys like that.
Trent Dilfer,
yeah, worst. He's the ultimate, right? But you know, in the CFL, you don't see a lot of teams winning Grey Cups without a guy who at least in that year was, you know, less than elite, like less than one of the best two or three quarterbacks in the league. So it's just hard to imagine winning a Grey Cup with Kevin Glenn. Maybe this is the year, maybe this breaks the streak. But it's just that one year in Winnipeg when he got hurt, he was playing as well as he's ever played. And if he had played in that Grey Cup game rather than Dinwiddie, they would have had a shot. You know, they absolutely would have had a shot. But you know, again, it's one of those things. Maybe, you know, maybe when I see it, maybe if I see it happen, I guess I'll have to believe. But until then, it just kind of seems to me that if you're a Saskatchewan fan, you think we're going to finish second or third, and we'll maybe win a playoff game, and that's about it. You know, it's not like there's somebody else going to ride over the hill with the cavalry and take over that team. There aren't a bunch of quarterbacks ready to go out there, and I don't think they've got anybody else on their roster that's that good.
I liked your Ticats last week.
Yeah. They're really good. You know what? They're really good. They're a bit, you know, snake bitten. They should have probably, you know, they should have won that football game. But I think, you know, especially if they get C.J. Gable back, and Grigsby back, they get their running game going. And knock on wood, Calero stays healthy. You know,
and stop taking penalties.
And stop taking stupid penalties.
Boy, are they dumb when it comes to penalties. Ken Austin is ripping his hair out every game.
Yeah, that was a game. You know, and again, that's a very, very winnable football game. But I think, again, I think talent-wise, they are as good as anybody in the league. And, you know, they've been close now a couple of times, you know, at least won the East a couple of times. They were very close last year, and I think they're the best team in the East by some stretch. I was surprised by how well the Argos played. I'll say that. But, you know, I think Hamilton's the class of the East. I don't think it's even close.
We're out of time, bud. Enjoy that seafood and your sail and all of that. Jealous, very jealous of you. Beautiful part of the world.
Thank you, and we'll speak from beautiful. I'll be on beautiful Bond Bay by Friday.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
See you guys.